August 10th. And our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verses 1 through 44. We'll see that when things look dark, there is always a ray of hope. Shechaniah encouraged the people to confess their sins and obey the word. He may have been thinking of God's promises back in Exodus chapter 34 and several others. Believers today turn to 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. But confession must not be a routine thing that comes only from the lips. We must tremble at God's word and truly bring him a broken heart. That explains why Ezra fasted and prayed, for he identified himself with the people in their sins. You know, not everybody agreed to obey, but those who did submit to Ezra confessed their sins publicly, offered a sacrifice, and put away their pagan wives and children. The experience was painful for them, but it was the only way to keep the nation pure. There is no easy way to deal with sin. We'll see that God is our hope. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. August 10th, Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 through 44. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and throwing himself to the ground in front of the temple of God, a large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, "We confess that we have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But there is hope for Israel in spite of this. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the others who respect the commands of our God. We will obey the law of God. Take courage, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight, and we will cooperate fully." So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as Shechaniah had said, and they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehoiachin, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there, but he did not eat any food or drink. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. Then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the returned exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days would, if the leaders and elders so decided, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place on December 19th. And all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. Then Ezra the priest stood and said to them, "You have sinned, for you have married pagan women. Now we are even more deeply under condemnation than we were before. Confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from these pagan women." Then the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two, for many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair. This is the rainy season, so we cannot stay out here much longer. Let our leaders act on behalf of us all. Everyone who has a pagan wife will come at the scheduled time with the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God may be turned away from us concerning this affair. Only Jonathan, son of Azahel, and Josiah, son of Tikva, opposed this course of action, and Meshulam and Shabbathai, the Levite, supported them. So this was the plan that they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December 29th, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27th of the next year, they had finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. These are the priests who had married pagan wives. From the family of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, Mahasiah, Eliezer, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They vowed to divorce their wives, and they each acknowledged their guilt by offering a ram as a guilt offering. From the family of Immer, Hanani, and Zebadiah. From the family of Harim, Mahasiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. From the family of Pashur, Elioenai, Mahasiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Jozabad, and Elisa. These are the Levites who were guilty. Jozabad, Shimei, Keliah, also called Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eliezer. This is the singer who was guilty, Eliashib. These are the gatekeepers who were guilty, Shalum, Telem, and Uri. These are the other people of Israel who were guilty. From the family of Parash, Ramiah, Isaiah, Malchijah, Mijamin, Eleazar, Hashabiah, and Benaiah. From the family of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. From the family of Zattu, Elioenai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zebad, and Azizah. From the family of Bebai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai. From the family of Bani, Meshulam, Maluch, Adiah, Jashub, Sheel, and Jerimoth. From the family of Pahath Moab, Adna, Gilal, Benaiah, Mahasiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Binuai, and Manasseh. From the family of Harim, Eliezer, Ishijah, Melchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluch, and Shemariah. From the family of Hashum, Mattani, Matata, Zebad, Elephelet, Jeremai, Manasseh, and Shimei. From the family of Bani, Mahadai, Amram, Uel, Benaiah, Bediah, Keluhai, Vaniah, Merimoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattani, and Jahasu. From the family of Binuai, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Magnedabai, Shashai, Sharai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the family of Nebo, Jeiel, Mattathiah, Zebad, Zebina, Jedai, Joel, and Benaiah. Each of these men had a pagan wife, and some even had children by these wives. August 10th. And as we continue today, looking into the New Testament, we'll be reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. We'll see that not only were the Corinthian believers compromising with the world, but they were also losing their testimony before the world by taking each other to court before pagan judges. So the Apostle Paul repeatedly asked, "Do you not know?" They were ignorant of some basic truths of the Christian life. Some of those truths were, we will judge angels. Hey, if God entrusts that greater responsibility to his people, can't he help us with our petty decisions today? Can't he help us solve our disagreements today? We have been changed. We are not what we once were. So why should we live as we once lived? It is a matter not of what is lawful, but of what is helpful. And that's important because we belong to the Lord. He made the human body. He dwells in believers by his Spirit. And he purchased us at the cross. The believer's body belongs to God and must be used to glorify him. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. August 10th, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. When you have something against another Christian, why do you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter, instead of taking it to other Christians to decide who is right? Don't you know that someday we Christians are going to judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, Can't you decide these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we Christians will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disagreements here on earth. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why do you go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these arguments? But instead, one Christian sues another, right in front of unbelievers. To have such lawsuits at all is a real defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? But instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your own Christian brothers and sisters. Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have a share in the kingdom of God. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins have been washed away, and you have been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you. You may say, I'm allowed to do anything, but I reply, not everything is good for you, and even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But our bodies were not made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise our bodies from the dead by His marvelous power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never! And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the Scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Today we're looking into Psalm chapter 31, verses 9 through 18. We'll read about foes. David's enemies persecuted him, lied about him, and spread a net to catch him. Where could he turn for help? Well, only to the Lord. If the hand of the enemy is against you, find safety in the hand of the Lord. And we'll read about feelings. David was ill. He wasn't feeling well, possibly as the result of his own disobedience. You know, God can use enemies and sickness to chasten us and bring us to a place of submission. David's enemies laughed at him, and his friends ignored him. All David could do was turn to the Lord for help, and the Lord did not fail him. And of course, the implication is the Lord will not fail you and me either. David expresses his faith. The emphasis is on David's faith in the Lord. Because of his faith, David was not ashamed, but rejoiced in God and enjoyed the smile of God upon his life. He knew that God's goodness would carry him through. You see, my friend, true faith is never alone, for it leads to love and hope, which gives you the courage you need to win the battle, whether the foe is within or without. Psalm 31, verses 9 through 18. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. My sight is blurred because of my tears. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Misery has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they turn the other way. I have been ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard the many rumors about me, and I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, You are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, save me. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. May their lying lips be silenced, those proud and arrogant lips that accuse the godly. Proverbs 21, verse 3. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is just and right than when we give him sacrifices.